Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I have no relationships to disclose. The objectives of this discussion are one, to describe multi-hospital system developed sepsis database for the evaluation of process and outcome measures, and two, to explain results on our analysis between early lactate clearance, and that is within 6 hours, and in-hospital mortality. But first, a brief background. The worldwide burden of sepsis ranges between 15 million and 19 million lives annually. In the United States, between 2004 and 2009, the incidence of severe sepsis increased by 13% each year. Now, a study published by Angus et al. At the turn of the century revealed that mortality rates for severe sepsis range between 30 and 50%, and that 200,000 deaths occurred annually in the United States due to severe sepsis. So you see, due to the high prevalence, the increasing incidence, and the high mortality rates, we have a public health concern. To understand our study, I'd just like to go over sepsis, severe sepsis, and septic shock. Sepsis is suspected infection accompanied by the presence of two or more SIRS conditions, which is standing for systemic inflammatory response syndrome conditions. Severe sepsis occurs when vital organ dysfunction takes place along with sepsis, and that could be renal failure. Now, septic shock is a form of severe sepsis that takes place when hypertension occurs despite adequate fluid resuscitation of that patient, and hypertension is low blood pressure. So there was a sepsis initiative that started in 2009 at the North Shore LIJ Health System, which was prioritized by our CEO, Michael Dowling. He prioritized the Sepsis Mortality Reduction Performance Improvement Initiative to reduce sepsis mortality in our hospital system by 50% in 5 years. Now, that goal was achieved. The North Shore LIJ Health System serves over 7 million patients in the New York State metropolitan area. At the time of our study, it was comprised of 11 hospitals. It has grown since this time. And those hospitals were 5 tertiary, 6 community. We saw over 500,000 ED visits annually and 250,000 inpatient discharges each year. Now, when the Sepsis Initiative started in 2009, the Sepsis Task Force came together, a multidisciplinary task force, and one of the first orders of business was to develop a sepsis database that would monitor any progress in sepsis improvement in the patients. So by the end of 2009, clinicians and the quality management team of that sepsis task force developed uniform sepsis metrics that were to be captured in the central database. These data elements related to sepsis diagnosis and treatment were delineated by clinical members of the Sepsis Task Force to the Krasnov Quality Management Institute, or KQMI. And this database was developed about a year later in 2010. Expert staff at KQMI developed a user-friendly web tool for data abstractors to enter the data into. And they used, and it uses Oracle as a backend to capture demographics, clinical data elements, process, and outcome measures. And the process measures are mainly the sepsis bundle measures. Logic was programmed into the web tool to aid in accurate and clean data entry. And now this database that has been developed since 2010 provides continual monitoring of performance measures. And this is monitored real time via the internet, and in-depth retrospective data analysis, such as the analysis that I'm going to share results with you today on. So, a few screenshots of the database.
First
are the diagnostic elements, which include the CERS criteria, as I mentioned before, Super CERS ED triage criteria, which is criteria developed by our health system. It's a heightened level of CERS, helping the clinicians to diagnose patients with severe sepsis upon ED presentation. And then new organ dysfunction criteria. And you can see the elements listed there. This aids in the diagnosis of severe sepsis patients. The second section of the database includes the bundle elements, and I have arrows pointed out to you to show you where the lactate measurements are for the initial lactate and the repeat lactate, which is what we use to calculate lactate clearance. Now, before I proceed to describe our study in more detail, I'd like to show you, just talk about a very influential study for our analysis by Nguyen et al. Entitled Early Lactate Clearance is Associated with Improved Outcome in Severe Septic and Septic Shock. This was published in Critical Care Medicine in 2004, and I have some highlights that I just want to share with you because this was influential in our analysis. First, lactate level was obtained at hour zero, that was ED presentation, and hour six. Second, lactate clearance was defined as the percent decrease in lactate from ED presentation to hour six. And third, the analysis of this of the cutoffs showed that lactate clearance cutoff of 10% had the maximum sum of sensitivity and specificity for predicting in-hospital mortality. So they concluded that more trials needed to be performed to conclusively establish lactate clearance as a resuscitation endpoint. And hence, we had the charge to move forward and analyze our data in the same method that Nguyen et al. Had evaluated their data. So the methods, the design is a retrospective observational study. The setting takes place at the North Shore ED departments. The inclusions are patients with severe sepsis with an ICD-9 code of 995.92 or septic shock, which are the combination of ICD-9 codes 995.92 and 785.52, discharged between January 1st, 2012 and June 30th, 2014. Exclusions are transfer patients, pediatric patients, and any cases with documented goals of cure at the time of sepsis identification that precluded compliance with the treatment bundle. The patient population totaled 13,925 patients which were admitted via the ED. And data entry was performed by our data abstractors, unique for each site. The statistical analysis includes t-tests, logistic regression, ROC curve analysis, and survival analysis, and this was performed using both IBM SPSS and SAS. So, moving forward to the results, first we looked at the initial lactate levels of the patients presenting to the ED for those who survived the hospital stay and those who did not, and you could see the differences, 2.9 versus 4.5 for non-survivors, 2.9 for survivors. The standard deviations were much smaller for survivors, almost half at 2.1 versus 3.7. And this mean difference of initial lactate was negative 1.6 millimoles per liter with a p-value of less than 0.001. Then we went on to calculate lactate clearance. And the formula that we use is very similar to the one by Nguyen et al., except it's not and converted into a percentage. There's no multiplier of 100. It's the initial lactate minus the repeat lactate, all divided by the initial lactate. And note, a positive value will denote a decrease in lactate. So the results are as follows. The mean lactate clearance for our survivors was 0.24, for non-survivors 0.04, standard deviation was much smaller for survivors at 0.48 versus 0.83 for non-survivors, and the mean difference was 0.20, p-value, again, significant at less than 0.001. So we used the lactate clearance variable in two regression models, two logistic regression models. First, we entered lactate clearance in as a continuous predictor, a continuous variable, and then we, for model two, we plugged it in as a binary variable with a cutoff of 10%. So the first model I am showing you here on this slide, the adjusted odds ratios, and I've highlighted the lactate clearance because that's what I'm looking at mostly. The adjusted odds ratio for adjusting for age, weight, admission unit, hospital, and initial lactate is 0.501, and the p-value for that odds ratio is again less than 0.001. The band is between 0.43 and 0.59. Now, the interpretation of this odds ratio shows that with a unit increase in lactate clearance holding all other covariates constant, there's a 50% decrease in the odds of in-hospital mortality. But the interpretation of odds ratios, especially for those that are lower than one, is a little difficult to understand, especially for continuous variables, because there's no reference group to compare the odds to. So that's why we did a second model. But we, before moving on to the second model, we calculated the probability of death using a certain scenario. For a 70-year-old weighing 70 kilograms, admitted into a critical care unit at hospital number 5 with an initial lactate of 3.5 and a lactate clearance of 0.05, the probability of death calculated to be 19.3%. With the same criteria, but increasing lactate clearance by 0.25 up to 0.30, the probability of death decreased to 16.7. So here's the second model, adjusting for the same covariates, age, weight, admission unit, hospital, and initial lactate, but this time using lactate clearance as a binary variable and less than 10% as the reference group. Greater than 10% lactate clearance had an odds ratio of 0.443, a confidence interval of 0.39, and 0.53. P-value, again, less than 0.001. Now, this interpretation is a little bit easier to understand. Here we say that holding all other covariates at a fixed value, the odds of expiring in the hospital for patients with a lactate clearance of 10% or more is 0.557 less than for patients with a lactate clearance of less than 10% within 6 hours. So we also calculated the probability of death using all the same criteria as in model one, but now using the binary fields, lactate clearance less than 0.10 and lactate clearance greater than or equal to 0.10. So for less than 0.10, the probability of death is 28.2%. But when the lactate clearance was greater than or equal to 0.10, the probability of death for a 70-year-old weighing 70 kilograms, etc., admitted into a critical care unit at hospital 5 with an initial lactate of 3.5, that probability of death was nearly half at 14.8. So just a few more. We have the ROC curve analysis, which is just showing an unadjusted calculation of in-hospital mortality. There are no other predictors placed into this analysis to give you the unadjusted area under the curve. And that was 0.62, confidence interval 0.6 to 0.64, p-value again less than 0.001. I have on the slide two cutoffs. The cutoff that was giving the maximum some sensitivity and specificity in the Nugent et al. Study of 0.10. For our analysis, the sensitivity was 74 and the specificity was 42, which did not give us the maximum sum sensitivity and specificity. Cutoff of 24 was the highlighted point of inflection of 60% sensitivity and a 59% specificity. And that would be, you can see right at the center of the graph, that would be where point 24 is. So we plugged in into a survival plot, a binary variable, lactate clearance at 24 or below 24%. And you can see by the blue line, this represents 24% or more lactate clearance in 6 hours, those who survived the hospital stay. And the green line shows this cumulative survival rate of those in the hospital between 0 and 80 days with a lactate clearance less than 24%. And you'll note that as the length of stay increased, the width between the cumulative survival also increased, and survival did decrease in time. However, there was a greater survival rate for those that had 24 or more percent lactate clearance. In conclusion, lactate clearance is an independent predictor of in-hospital mortality. Improvement in 6-hour lactate clearance among patients admitted from the ED with severe sepsis and septic shock is associated with decreased in-hospital mortality. And this information may be useful in assessing the response to short-term emergency treatment of severe sepsis in the acute care setting. Our limitations are, it's an observational study, so only an association between lactate clearance and mortality can be assessed. A causal relationship cannot be inferred. We do have missing date and time values, and it is retrospective in design, therefore it's potentially subject to systematic error and bias. Finally, the results cannot be compared with studies that have repeat lactate at hour 6, we studied within 6 hours. There are other studies that do within a certain time frame, 10 hours, 12 hours. Ours is within 6 hours because we did not do this prospectively, we did this retrospectively. Thank you.